It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Wednesday. Hope you're having a great start to your day. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, behind the glass. Is Skillet still with us?
I don't believe so.
Okay. It was yesterday?
Today. Today's Wednesday.
Why did it have to be today?
Because you know what today is? Chase McCabe's birthday.
It is.
Happy birthday, Chase
McCabe.
Thank
you very much. Thank you very much.
And we're going to get right to the question of the day.
Okay, let's do it.
What do you get a man who has everything? What do you give Chase McCabe for his birthday?
Oh, God.
What do you give him? A couple years ago, I tried to get Taylor Swift to jump out of a cake, and it was Taylor Hicks.
Yeah.
So it was a big screw up on my part. So what do you give
that's twice we've screwed that up, because last night, you know, we left the MTSU, the Blue Raider Blitz, and Ricky came and picked us up and said, hey, we're going to see Taylor. And we were like, oh, wow. Like, where's she at? Because I guess Kelsey's in town and everything.
Tied in you.
And so we're like, yeah, we're going to go to this. Taylor's doing a show and everything. And it was Taylor Hicks. So,
yeah. You know. Ricky's like, it's over at this bowling alley. So we're like, all right. So, you know. Meanwhile, Taylor Swift's at Brooklyn Bowl. Ricky takes us to Donaldson Bowl, which no longer exists.
Yeah.
So
he started crying about it. And we're like, dude, it's been gone for like 5 years.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I thought I had it. I was like, that's all right. Meanwhile, everybody else is with Taylor Swift at Brooklyn Bowl.
Yeah.
We're riding around Donaldson trying to find some place to eat. That's all right, though. Happy birthday, Chase.
Thank you very much.
May we ask how old you are?
I am 38.
38.
38 years young, so feeling good, though.
Happy birthday, man.
Wake up and my back was hurting. I was like, well, this is appropriate.
Yeah, that's right. So here's what I do, which is not healthy at all. So I'm 56. So I do in my life, when I was 38, I would like, all right, where was my mom when she was 38? Where was your mom when she was 38?
Well, with me, I mean, probably taking me to school or something.
In life.
Oh, in life?
Yeah. Where was your mom at 38 years old? Taking to school or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably what her life was.
All right.
I mean, she was teaching like she is now, and let's see, how old would I have been at that point? Probably 11.
All right, so what year was your father born?
Dad was born in 53.
So he would have been 1991. What was your dad doing in 1991?
He was running a bar.
Okay.
Yep.
I mean, you basically run a bar here, so it's pretty same thing.
Pretty much.
So, yeah. So, I always compare, which is not healthy, but you're like, all right, what were they when I was
this age?
That's
kind of a fun exercise, though.
It is. Drive you crazy,
Do you do this? I immediately this morning, like, I, you know, started listening to, like, some late 80s music, and then I was like, I wonder what the number one song on my birthday was.
The day you were born?
Yeah.
Oh, so that would have been 1987.
Yep.
Was it
June 25th, 1987.
Oh, my God. I just listened to the countdown last week, too. Oh, gosh. It's not Man in the Mirror. That was 1988. God, I don't know. Tell me.
Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Nice.
So I was like, hey, that's a good song.
Yeah.
I like that song.
Okay. Well done, man. Yeah. Happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's fun, and I guess we can go ahead and throw this out there. We got a little news this morning that we're going on the road.
We are going on the road.
So we're going to – Dr. Crane, you got to hold it down. We are going with the Cats. We're going to call the championship game in Albany on Saturday.
So, rare.
Yeah. Don't ever do that again.
That was Joe, not me.
Oh, man. We're headed to Albany. Yeah, get ready. The Chase and Big Joe Comedy Tour is going to upstate New York.
Yeah,
can't wait.
I've never been to upstate New York.
My father's from up there. I've been there once. So Poughkeepsie, okay. Albany, New Paltz, up that way. And so this will be – that's the capital, right? The capital of New York is Albany. A lot of history there.
Sure is. A lot of people think it's New York City, but
it's not, pal. Do you know the capital of Kentucky?
Frankfort.
My man. Dr. Crane, what's the capital of Florida? Just one more game. That's it.
I don't like games, Joe, especially with you.
Tallahassee.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Thanks. All right, Dr. Crane. Good answer.
Yeah, thank you.
They weren't going to answer, so I just sped this up.
Well done. All right. Good job.
All right. So what is our question of the day?
What do you get a man who's got everything? What's a good birthday gift for Chase McCabe? He loves Dale Earnhardt, and he loves Taylor Hicks. So what do you get him?
Yeah. So Ricky made fun of me for this, but I said, since I'm 38, today is my Dale Sr., Dale Jr. birthday because 3/8.
Ah, so you're far too advanced. I can't think that analytically like that.
I'll get you that coupon where you can get knighted on Donaldson bike or something. He was talking about.
That's East Nashville.
East Nashville, sorry.
Yeah, $25.
I'm
bucks.
Good. I'm good, man. I appreciate 20, that.
All tags, man. It's a Groupon. You get 2 for 1. That. You could do all you want with that right there. So yeah, I waited for your birthday gift today. I mean, it's a simple question. I want to get Chase McCabe for his birthday.
Wait, so Ben on our text line says, happy birthday, Chase. I've been a longtime fan of the show and love what you all do. I'll be celebrating my own birthday today by tuning in. Wouldn't have any other way. So happy birthday to Ben.
Heck yeah,
we're
man.
Birthday twins.
Nice job. June 25th.
It's a great day. Brooks Bratton with the Predators. Today is his birthday, too.
Is it really?
We're birthday twins. Yeah.
But you're ineligible for celebrity birthdays because we know your birthday
yeah,
today.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, but you so can play the game.
One of my friends texted me and said, I hope you guess your age right in your birthday game at the end of the show.
Is that old Phil Grand?
His girlfriend.
Okay. Hannah. All right. Good. Yeah. All right. Well, happy birthday, buddy. That's kind of well done.
Thank you. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You and I were both at the Barry Trotz press conference yesterday, kind of the pre-draft press conference. Nothing really, earth-shattering, because they obviously don't know who they're going to take yet. But you could tell he feels confident that they're going to get a good player at 5.
I hope.
The thing is, and he talked about this a little more extensively when he was on with Jared, you might see this person next year, but like if it's somebody like a James Higgins, he's probably going back to Boston College for one more year. So that's the thing about the NHL is, you're going to get a good player, but you won't see them for a while.
That's fine.
And
we
that's
know
just
the
kinda
deal.
How it goes.
That's the way. It's like baseball, the same way. I mean, you know what's going to happen, but he had an air of confidence about him yesterday.
Yeah, he did. Like, he did. I agree with that.
Last year was bad. We get it all. We're fixing this. So just wait and see next year. And I was like, I liked it. I like the confidence. Like, again, look, last year was an absolute disaster. It's over with. It's done. Now you move forward and you put a few pieces in there and you see what you got. I mean, they got talent, right? I mean,
they do.
We're not stupid. They got talent.
And I want to play his answer in a little bit, but I asked him the question of, is there a point where you have to pick a lane on either the future or the now? He gave a really good answer about it, but it was kind of like he summed it up by saying the team will the roster is going to dictate that, because he thinks this roster is better than what they were last year. And I think everybody thinks that. Like, no way, no how, if I had gone to you and said, Joe Dubin, this roster that the Predators are going to put out there is going to be the 30th ranked roster in the National Hockey League. Nobody would have thought that.
Not a soul.
And so I still don't think that that's what they are. I think he's kind of looking at it as they're going to reset. They're going to, get good players for the future. But, he's got those two second round or two late first round picks that he could use to move around and get a player. I was laughing at Jared yesterday because he was kind of playing this, well, if this happens and this happens, would you do this? And when Barry got done, I was standing there and I go, Barry, if Edmonton called and offered you Connor McDavid for UC Soros, would you do it? And he started laughing.
Of course.
Of course you would.
I was going to ask, Barry, I was like, do you guys role play? I mean, in the room?
Yeah.
Like, all right, you're Buffalo, you're the Islanders, you're whomever. And, because you got, 10 minutes to figure it out. They've got to go through every scenario. I wanted to ask him if he would have done a Mike Ditka. Ditka 99, the NFL draft.
Gave up his whole draft.
Yeah, for Ricky Williams. Is there a player that you would give up all the draft picks for one player?
Not in this draft.
But what if that certain team threw in a player? So do you get the number one pick plus this player? Islanders gave up their best player.
Look, I would give – I'd give all three of those first for McDavid. But, I think every other team would too.
Right, yeah. It's fun.
That's going to be an interesting thing to watch because – when he was asked about re-signing, because July 1st, he's eligible to re-sign, his answer was, we'll see, basically. because he was pretty, hey, we need a goaltender. I don't have it. And, you know, Willie made the – I think he kind of backed it off a little bit and said at least one. And I think I agree with him that with the group they have, if you put Saros on that roster, they probably have a cup.
Really?
I think so. You put Saros with an elite roster like they have, yeah.
No, I don't like that answer. Because you've got to put yourself on an elite team to be good. You're not good.
I didn't say for him to be good. I'm just right. He is good. That's what I'm saying. They've had crap goaltending. Like, if you look at the last two Stanley Cup final with Edmonton, they've had – I mean, no offense to either of those guys.
But none
like
taken,
they have. They have not had good goaltending. You give them good goaltending, great goaltending. I mean, I think Saros is – he's not elite, but I think he's really good. But, you know, you do have to have a good team around most really good players.
What was the guy's name? The Preds drafted the goalie that was terrible in like 99 or 2000. Brian something.
Flaherty?
Finley. Brian Finley.
Brian Finley. Wade Flaherty, Brian Finley, yeah.
Who's Wade Flaherty?
That was a goaltender, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Brian Finley.
Finley was so bad. Oh, my God.
Hit and miss, baby. I don't know if I can quote this person, but I do know that like somebody said – somebody very important said, yep, he'll never play for us.
All the hype. He was. Just, I think he played one game.
I think he played one game, yeah.
But that's the thing.
Wasn't he a second-round pick?
I thought he was a first-rounder.
First-round pick?
Yeah, after Leguan, like the second year, if I remember correctly. But that's the thing. You just never know. You never know until they get here and what happens. You get the guy in camp, whether it's football, basketball, whatever it is, you just never know when you get the opportunity. He just wasn't good. You swing and a miss on that. It happens. Every team goes through that. Every single team goes through a swing and miss.
Yeah. Hunter, I mean, look, it's a part of it. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoundy.com. We'll discuss.
Whoa. We got something to do in the first segment, pal.
Oh, yeah. Do you have it? Is it queued up this time? Or do we need to listen to a verse before we get there?
Yeah.
Love you, Dr. Curry.
Uncanny. Absolutely uncanny.
Right? Y'all no right? Respect. No, what you say is, I get no respect around here.
You already sad enough because Skillet's gone to the Great Hog Kitchen in the sky. Chaser's birthday. I mean,
where's my I will remember you.
Not today. Today's your birthday. It's a special day.
Yeah, thank you, right? By the way, that song will bring a tear to a glass eye, man. I'll tell you what. 59 days. We are 59 days away from the start of college football. 59 days. So we want to hear your favorite number, 59. One, this number should be pretty easy to what we were just talking about, right?
What? Number 59?
Yep.
Oh, Roman Josi.
Roman Josi, number 59. Yeah, he's pretty good. Yeah, he is. There's one.
I'm trying to think of a Titan.
There's one. Peter Sermon. There's one number 59 in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Did you know that? Only one number. And he might be the second greatest linebacker of all time. He's off the steel curtain. One Jack Ham. The only number 59 in the Hall of Fame. When I think of 59, I think of former Tennessee Volunteer nose tackle Mark Hovanek, who was built, he's like 6'3", 280, had no muscle on him, but, man, he would bury you at the line of scrimmage. So number 59, because we're 59 days out from the start of college football. Praise the Lord.
I remember this guy. Dat Nugent? How do you say his
name? Dat Wynn?
Dat Wynn. Is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, for the Cowboys?
Was he not number 11?
There was a guy, this guy, supposedly wore 59.
Is it Dat Wynn? Yeah. Did he play at Texas A&M?
Yes.
That's him.
Okay.
Good linebacker for the Cowboys.
Yeah. Yep. I don't remember him.
Yeah.
Okay, number 59. I'm trying to think NASCAR. I think Robert Presley in the Xfinity series.
Man, that's a family member of mine. Oh, 59. I allowed him to do that. Titan-wise, Peter Sermon. Am I missing one throughout the 59?
What was Tim Shaw? Was he 52?
57, maybe? I don't remember. God, I should know that.
He was 59. That's what I thought.
There we go.
I feel like there is another one. 59. Tim Shaw.
Yeah. 59 days out, man. Now we're in the 50. It feels good.
Yeah, we're getting there. Yep. Well, and like last night we were hanging out with Coach Mason and the MTSU people, and it was kind of like, all right, it's getting here.
Yep.
By the way, If Middle calls me today and says, you know, we want to do something special, and dang it, I just lost my joke.
Did you look in your pants pocket? No. If you can't find it,
probably not.
Oh my god, man. I just lost my coat. Here it is. If MTSU called and said we want you to give Rick Enzel a show, I would do it in a heartbeat.
Oh, without the dump button, absolutely. Oh yeah,
unfiltered, like whatever. Just Coach Enzel can do whatever he wants.
All right, So I put it out on Twitter. Dr. Crane, you put out the show lineup, and I said, "Hey, it's Chase's birthday. We would make this day special if Taylor Hicks would call the show, because Chase is a big Taylor Hicks fan." Taylor Hicks is now following me on Twitter. I swear, if Taylor Hicks calls today, I put the phone number out. That'd be the greatest birthday. We got an American Idol winner calling us.
I actually saw him. I've seen him perform at Bridgestone Arena.
Really?
Because I went to the year he won American Idol. I went to, like, it might have been on my birthday too. I saw like the American Idol cast that year, and he was the headliner because he won.
That's right.
But Kelly Pickler was in it. Chris Daughtry.
Daughtry, okay.
Was in it.
So I think he won. It says here he won in 06. So yeah. Sometime so after
it was
that.
It was my senior year in high school.
Look at you. Did you go with Alan Jackson's daughter?
Actually, I think she did go. I had to think about who all went. It was a big group of us.
He's like, "Chase, you better get her back home by 8, boy." That's the worst Alan Jackson accent.
All right, can we get a break?
Now we can.
We're up and running on this Wednesday. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Wednesday. Dr. Crane bringing in some Taylor Hicks.
Oh, we love Taylor Hicks. Y'all can have that. Taylor Swift. When Chase McCabe for his birthday wants Taylor Hicks, we're efforting to get Taylor Hicks on this show today. Know that.
Oh, that's good. That is good stuff. We mentioned yesterday Barry Trotz talking about – this is so my question got the longest answer. I don't know if I win anything for that. But
you do.
But I asked him this question. We have a question on it too. I asked him this question about kind of picking where to go with this team of win now or planning more for the future. Here was Barry Trotz.
Barry, you've talked about the plan, and you know part of that has been building for the future. You got, mm-hmm. I think it's 9 draft picks this year, including 4 in the top 35. But you've also made moves to acquire veterans and be competitive in the now. As you've gone through your process of evaluating how you do things, evaluating where the team is at, do you feel that you might need to pick a lane, you know, a little bit more definitively of kind of looking ahead to the future or being more in the now? Or do you feel like you're good to kind of continue how you are?
Well, I think, to be quite honest with you, I want to see what this group can do. I mean, the plan all along was for we had a gap that the older players that we have to sort of carry the load. And, you know, in my I've said it many times, I'd like to start blending those younger players that are starting to say work their way out of the American Hockey League, get some experience and have a, you know, say two veterans and a young player and sort of spread our team out a little bit. And that hasn't changed. You know, a year from now, you know, it may flip to one or the other, but I think right now we've got to give this group, the coaching staff and the players, to stay on the original plan. But, you know, we have a lot of players that we're pretty flexible. Most of the way we're set up right now, all our call-ups will be players that are, you know, can go up and down. They don't need waivers. You're going to see guys that you're going to see a Kemmel. You're going to see a Reed Schaefer. You're going to see, like last year, we had LaRue and Svechkov. They came up a lot earlier than I expected and wanted to, quite frankly. But they're already there. And, you know, even in the case of Svechkov and LaRue, they don't need waivers. They could still go down. So there's a lot of flexibility in our lineup, which I wanted. which was with full disclosure, that was the intent, that we would have those, the ability to do that this year. And then I have, you know, I think five guys that are in their last year of their contract on forward, and a couple of guys on the back end that are either restricted or unrestricted. So we have lots of flexibility if guys pop. If our team gets back to where I think it can, then we can still supplement with using the older players, but our call-ups are going to get a lot of games this year. That's all, the way I feel. I think this group will be energized. The older players, as much as they, you know, they like playing with veteran players a lot of times, they're going to need a lot of these young guys. They're going to need their legs. They're going to need their enthusiasm, because it's going to be a grind. This year, the schedule is more condensed. The schedule is, we're going over to Sweden. So there's going to be very few practice days. Travel's going to be tight, and we're going to have to be on our game, and we're going to use all our pieces. And sometimes that youthful energy can make the grind a little bit easier. So I'm hoping that's the case.
So that was Barry Trotz yesterday, and I laughed when he went on with Jared. And Jared said, I'm paraphrasing, but basically like, hey, I'm proud of you because you answered all these questions and didn't say anything. Like, it was like one of those, like, he, you know, he really held things close to the vest. And I understood what he was saying there. Like, the roster is going to kind of dictate where they're going to go. But at the same time, I do wonder if eventually they're going to have to pick. They're going to have to pick a path, because the fan base isn't going to sign up for, hey, we're semi-competitive, we're going to make the playoffs, but we're going to get beat in the first round. Like, they're not going to do that. Now, hey, we're good enough where we're going to win the first round, and then whatever happens after that, we'll see. That's a little more – that's something that I think, you know, you can take a little bit more of, because that's kind of where the NHL is, especially with the way that the seeding works, that, you know, it's like, all right, you take care of the first round like you're supposed to, and then who knows what will happen.
ESPN.com, rumblings about the Nashville Predators continue to grow. The Predators are picking number 5, but not in the typical position a team would be in with that selection. Like you said, Nashville wants to compete now, and it has a piece of draft capital to wield and trying to land an NHL player from a team that might be closer to that retooling stage. Any scenario do you see in the back of your mind, Hat Birthday Boy, where Trot sends two of his guy, or these draft picks in the first round, to another team for a seasoned player? Not a seasoned player, but a player that's been in the league for a little bit.
A veteran.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so.
I mean, in a heartbeat.
I think they pick at 5. Like, I would say I am 95% sure they're going to pick at 5. I was telling Preds PR, Nick Barnowski, I said, look, I think you go to L.A. I think you come back with definitely one, you know, on the first round. You come back with one guy, maybe two, but not three. Like, yeah. I think one of those picks gets dealt.
But I think you, like, did we sign him for this? I think he answered, like, we're going to run it back one more year.
That's how I took it,
too. And I'm fine with that.
And that's him bringing Bruno back. You know, you've hired a defensive-minded coach that's going to be an assistant, which I kind of feel like that was more of a Barry move than a Bruno move, but I could be wrong. But I think that he's trying to set everything up of, this is it. You know, this is, everybody needs to show me that you're in on this and that this is going to be successful, or, yeah, I am going to blow it up.
And also, wouldn't you be pissed off if you're one of the Preds players? Everybody's talking about how you underachieved and
not
getting it done. I'd be mad, like, and all right, I'm going to show you.
And that's a really good point, because as a coach, and Barry's a coach through and through, as a coach, you want to see how your players respond.
Yeah.
You know, you have it's the coach saying of, you now have the opportunity to respond. How are you going to respond? So I think that's what he wants to see. And look, I find it interesting, too, that you look at the Predators coaching staff, they have like 3,500 games of NHL experience playing as players. And that's intriguing to me, Now, again, I could sit here and make the argument, you know, Barry Trotz has zero games as a player in the NHL, and he's a Hall of Fame coach. So
he is. I'm going to tell you what my therapist told me. Barry can't want it more than they do.
Yeah, 100%.
Right? I mean, he's not on the ice. He can't want it more than they do. They have to want it more than he does. So run it back one more year. Let's do this. We saw how bad it was. Why can't we see how good it could be? I don't know. Why not? I mean, that's the deal and see what happens. But I keep number five, trade everything else, get a player who can be in here in October to go, because I don't know, this by all accounts, Yoski's going to be okay.
It looks that way.
Yep. And then is the Sweden trip before the season starts, or is that in season?
It's in season.
Okay. All right. I mean, so you want to head to Sweden feeling good about yourself, not having to fire a coach and try to figure things out in November.
Coming up next, we're going to shift gears because
that was worse than my cat scratch, whatever that was.
Did you hit a donkey?
Shifted gears. Have you not seen the new Kia when you switch gears?
I need some WD-40.
No, I mean, it sounded like you hit a donkey or something. CBS has ranked the top 25 players in NFL history, and I want to see if you agree with this.
You know what's funny? The other question I had today, if I realized it was your birthday, is that if you're starting an NFL team throughout history, who would you start your team with?
Well,
and now you bring this up.
Yeah. Top 25 in NFL history.
All right. I like it.
I haven't looked at it. I just saw it, and I was like, we got to bring this up. We'll do that coming up next. Chasing Big Joe here on this Wednesday. No John McClain today. He'll be with us on Friday. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz. As always, about great service. The number one song on June 25th, 1987. A great day. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, which is where we will be tomorrow. Looking forward to that before we head to Albany.
To Albany. Cannot wait, man. As the Nashville Cats go for the Arena Crown Championship Saturday at noon,
yes.
Nashville time.
Pre-game at 11:30 here on 102.5 The Game.
Should be fun,
and,
buddy.
And 93.3. Going to be on both stations. So looking forward to that. All right. CBS Sports has come out with their top 25 NFL players in NFL history. Now, here's the criteria. Individual success / accolades won, dominance during his era, longevity and career milestones achieved, enduring impact / legacy, team success, championships won, ranking relative to his position. Got all that?
Yep.
All right. Number 25, wide receiver Don Hudson.
Hold on a second, though. Who would you pick? You're starting an NFL team throughout history. Who do you take?
Like to build around?
Yep. First one player. Who do you take?
Probably Brady.
Okay.
I mean, it's greatest, so why not?
All right. I go with Jim Brown.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Just because he was generational. They couldn't stop him and watch his highlights. Followed closely, God, Lawrence Taylor.
Another good one.
So, all right, that's how I feel. I feel about that. All right, keep going. Don Hudson's damn good.
Yeah, Don Hudson, number 25, wide receiver from 1935 to 1945.
Was he in Alabama? I think he was an Alabama guy, too.
May have been.
Yep.
Number 24, Anthony Gonzalez.
Absolutely not.
Tied in 1997 to 2013.
25 greatest NFL players?
Yep.
Not at all, but go ahead.
You don't think he should be on the list at all?
Not at all. Not top 25.
Okay. Well, let's see the rest of it. Number 23, Gale Sayers, running back 1965 to 1971.
I think he only played 6 years in the NFL because of injuries. Had he been able to play 9-10 without injuries, might have been the greatest running back of all time.
Number 22, defensive back Rod Woodson, 1987 to 2003.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I'd take Charles Woodson over him.
Number 21, defensive tackle Alan Page, 1967 to 1981.
Hell yeah. Purple people eater. Fantastic tackle.
Number 20, left tackle Anthony Munoz, 1980 to 1992.
I'd have him top 10.
Number 19, running back Emmitt Smith, 1990 to 2004.
100%.
I'd have him higher.
Yep.
I'd have this guy higher, too. Number 18, quarterback John Elway, the first quarterback on the list, 93 to 98.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big quarterback heavy list. So yeah, he deserves to be top 25.
Well, he only played. No, he played longer than that.
Played 83-98. Yeah,
I think they met 83-98, not 93. 17, wide receiver, Randy Moss.
Yeah.
Yep. Number 16, defensive tackle, Mean Joe Green.
100%. One revolutionized the game in defensive line.
I'm curious. You may disagree with this one, but I agree with this one. Number 15, defensive tackle Aaron Donald.
Yeah, I mean, you got to put current guys in there. I told you his greatest plays were when he was triple teamed and his teammates made plays because he was triple teamed. Yes.
Number 14, linebacker Ray Lewis.
Yeah. Love him or hate him. My God, he was good.
The next quarterback on the list, number 13, Johnny Unitas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Johnny Unitas was a former Pittsburgh Steeler who got cut.
Yeah.
And the Colts are, we'll give you a tryout, and turned into that.
Number 12 at linebacker, Dick Butkus.
Oh, I'd go Butkus top five, but that's me. But, yeah, I'm glad he's on there.
Number 11 at quarterback, Patrick Mahomes.
No. I don't think current
not
players.
Yet. Not right. yet. Yeah. Not yet. He will be, but not yet. Number 10, another quarterback, Dan Marino.
Attaboy. You got me there, man.
Yep. Number 9 at running back, Barry Sanders.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you don't believe, just watch what he played in a run-and-shoot offense in Detroit, which just blows my mind because he had no blockers because he had four receivers. And what he did doing that, amazing.
Number 8 from the University of Tennessee at defensive end, the Minister of Defense, Reggie White.
You cannot argue with that.
Number 7, at linebacker, Lawrence Taylor.
A little bit low for my 11, but that's all right.
No argument. Number 6, from the University of Tennessee, at quarterback, Peyton Manning.
Man, I should probably be on top, probably top 3 or 4. That's all right. I had a couple Super Bowls. That's all right.
Number 5, at quarterback, Joe Montana.
Yeah. Yeah.
I might have had him a little higher, but I don't know what's ahead of him.
Yep.
Number 4, at running back, Sweetness, Walter Payton.
Amen.
Number 3, also at running back, Jim Brown. Who do you think number 2 is?
Brady's got to be number 1. Number 2 would probably have to be, hold on here, let me think. You got Brown, Taylor's already done it. God, I don't know. Offense or defense?
Offense.
Running back?
Nope.
Quarterback?
Nope.
Oh, receiver? Jerry Rice.
From Mississippi Valley State, wide receiver, Jerry Rice.
Who ran a 4.65 at the 40. I think Floyd told me one time they went and did his 40 time, and he literally ran in a cow pasture. At Mississippi Valley State.
I think that was right.
Because the field was too choppy or something. They ran in a cow pasture.
And number 1 is Tom Brady.
Yeah. I like the list. I just got a problem with greatest players because
it's like eras are so different.
Well, how do you compare Brady to Lawrence Taylor?
Yeah, right.
Or Aaron Donald to Mean Joe Green. I mean, it's tough to do all that stuff, but like position-wise, I think that's I like that better, but I don't argue. I mean, Brady, I mean, he's the greatest quarterback of all time. But then you argue about championships. Dan Marino made the top 10, but I watched a Dan Marino biography just the other night, and you got all these quarterbacks talking about Dan Marino was the best quarterback of all time, the way he threw the ball and everything else. But then how do you factor in championships?
Well, and I think there's a lot of people now that would look at Unitas and go, why is he on there? But if you really go back and do a deep study, he deserves to be on there.
I'll do a quick Johnny Unitas story for you. I've told you this. Watch his biography, too, on the NFL Network. When he got traded to the Chargers, he was 37 years old. And the narrator says, Johnny Unitas in a San Diego Chargers uniform at 37 years old was a shell of his former self. How old are you today?
38.
Are you a shell of your former self? Right? Look at the mindset that we put these guys in.
I know.
Brady and Manning knocked all that stuff down. Who was the Braves infielder? Julio Cruz, is that his name? Played me to like 48 years old.
Oh.
What was his, not Julio Cruz, was it?
Well, you're thinking of who.
Played for the Rangers, played for the Braves so long. He's like 46, 47 years old. I mean, that's why we stop with the age stuff. I hate that.
He's still playing today, currently?
No. Oh. He retired.
I say, there's a guy that's in his almost 50s, and he's still playing.
Who's that?
Plays for 16 different organizations. Played for
the... I need a name.
Hang on. I'm thinking. Okay. You guys do your thing. I'll think.
The age thing just bothers me so much. You're no different today, Chase, than you were at 37.
Julio Franco is who you're thinking.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's it. How old was he? Was he like 47, 48 when he stopped playing?
Franco had a long MLB career, 23 seasons until the age of 49.
49 years old. And still doing good.
He was with the Braves 01 to 05 and again in 07.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, Johnny Unitas deserves to be on there because at that moment in time, he was an amazing quarterback.
Franco holds the distinction of being the oldest player in Major League history to hit a home run, achieving this feat in 2007 at the age of 48.
48 years old. Hit a home run.
That's awesome.
Good.
That's pretty good. So there you go. That's CBS Sports top 25 ranking. There's a text that we got about what they'd get me for my birthday that is an interesting one.
Okay.
So I'll bring that up coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 106.3 The Game. Hey, coming up Friday, join us at Bridgestone Arena for a party like no other and celebrate the future of Smashville at the Predators 2025 NHL Draft Party. More details at thegamenashville.com/events. You can catch 102.5 The Game's Draft Night in Smashville. Robbie and Max will be anchoring that on Friday starting at 6, powered by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 429. Looking forward to that. Usually we have John McClain at this time. He's going to join us on Friday. So our question of the day was, it is my birthday, so what would you get me for my birthday? Andrew from Dover says, happy birthday, Chase. For your birthday, Amy is signing over ownership of the team to you. What is your first move?
Well, that's a good question.
So I was thinking about that. Like now, today, I don't know what it would be. Like 6 months ago, it would have been easy.
Yeah.
I would have done what she actually did, made a GM change. But
okay.
I don't know. I mean, now, like, I'd probably look at, you know, what's available and continue to tweak the roster. But, I mean, we're kind of set now.
But it's also one of those questions where it's like, when you get a question like that, you want to have, like, maybe 1% of a chance that happening.
And like, sure.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Right. I mean, that'd be cool, I guess. Maybe it would. Maybe it wouldn't. I'd probably turn around and sell him, just be a billionaire.
All right, what if Amy Adams came to you and said, Chase, on your birthday, you get to pick the opening act at the new Nissan Stadium.
Oh, okay, now that's a good one.
Who do you pick? Two nights, Friday and Saturday. That's going to be the opening concert at the new Nissan Stadium.
I would probably... George Strait was the first one at... the current Nissan Stadium. I think he should close the current Nissan Stadium. I'd go Garth. I'd probably go Garth.
Me too. Friday, yep. Saturday.
Friday, Saturday. He's Nashville. He's Tennessee. He's, you know,
it's Garth.
It's Garth.
Yeah.
So I'd, I'm go, with I'd you. Do that.
Okay.
You know what would be really cool? Now, I don't know logistically how they'd pull this off, but, you know, there's going to be a period of time where both stadiums are standing next to each other, right? Mm-hmm. One night, he's at old Nissan, closes it. The next night, he's at new Nissan.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Like, would that not be cool?
Yep. I love Jelly Roll. Should not be open.
Yeah, and I know there's kind of a push for that, and my guess is that I wouldn't be shocked.
Mm-hmm.
You know? No, I mean, who knows what he is 2 years from now, you know, where his popularity is, but I assume that he'd be good. Now, and his story is so – is a cool one because he's from here. He's legit from here, from Antioch.
Down, you know, the road, baby.
Had all his troubles that he overcame and all that stuff, and now has made something for himself. Is a tremendous performer. So, I mean, look, I if that's what they do, I'm not going to sit here and dog him for it. But, right. Like,
know, I'm old school. So, I mean, if it was even if it was like a Garth and his friends in low places and you had Jelly Roll and Luke Combs and some of the newer stars that showed up.
Didn't he do the Grand Ole Opry people come out like Jeannie Seely?
That was before his, that was the opener. Yeah, that was the opener.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you on that. I think Garth is, and I think he will open it from what I've been told. And I've been told nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know anything, but I like that. But, yeah, now the other question is, all right, Chase, who do you pick to close Nissan Stadium?
I think George.
George Strait.
Yeah. King George.
Yeah, him and.
And I know there's like a lot of people that it's like, well, that didn't really move the needle with me anymore, but.
Huh? He has the. No. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, like.
He has the most people at a concert in America.
No, I know.
In a stadium.
I know. But like my thing is, we got to hang on to a little bit of old Nashville traditions, you know? And
yeah.
King George is, I mean, like he and Alan Jackson have one of the greatest songs of all time that nobody will consider the greatest song of all time, but it is because it got people's attention. It pissed enough people off that a little bit started to change back, and that was The Murder on Music Row.
Mm-hmm.
And it did. I mean, it almost got – there were people that wanted those two banned from country music forever because of –
What if I put together a concert for you with John Conley, John Anderson, Lori Morgan, Grandpa Jones, the Hager twins?
So, he's still with us?
No, they're not. But still, I'd like to see that. Have you come on the Opry one night.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yep, there. And happy birthday, Chase McCabe. And then all these. John Conley comes out and sings Rose Colored Glasses. I mean, you'd start crying. I mean, it's be that emotional.
If I were good, okay, now you've really opened up a can of worms. Like the dream concert, like I put together, you know, with multiple acts, you know,
Nashville based.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we can go Nashville based.
All right.
So like country, but have been here a while, not necessarily from here, but you know, are pretty.
Would
much
you put
now.
Lori Morgan on that?
No, I would not. I like Lori Morgan, but I would not put her.
Dare on. You? Got to have a female. Pam Tillis? Don't say Carrie Underwood.
No, Trisha Yearwood.
You already get Garth, though. You can't get both.
Why not? They're going to ride together anyway. They're going to take
I'm pissed. Girl. You don't Lori Morgan
I
on
like
there.
I like Lori Morgan. Okay, all right.
If she came here and sang what part of No, you would start crying like a baby.
I also like her when she did the tribute to Keith Whitley and sang Don't Close Your Eyes. I mean, okay. That was a good one, too.
Pretty good.
But, like, I would need somebody that was capable to sing some Whitley since he's no longer with us.
What about his son? And his son, Jesse?
Okay. I'd sign up for
okay.
that. I mean, Alan's got to be there.
Who? Somebody sang I heard the other day a cover of Miami, Miami. Who
oh,
sang
really?
That?
I don't know.
Is that Blake
Morgan Shelton? Wallen, actually.
Wallen did it?
He does that. Well, not
oh,
a cover, but
he likes
it in his
Whitley,
new album.
Yeah.
Did he do a cover of Miami, Miami?
It's like intertwined in one of his newer songs.
Yeah, he has a song called Keith Whitley.
Okay, I need to hear that.
Is, yeah,
Keith Whitley. I said had he stayed around, he'd been probably number two. I mean, it'd been Garth and then Keith Whitley. He was that good. He was that
Dude,
good of a songwriter.
So good. And I mean, wasn't he like around my age when he died?
I might have been younger. He died in 1989. He might have been like 33.
I mean, he was young. 34.
34.
May 9th, 1989.
Good Lord.
And his birthday's coming up July 1.
July 1. Yep. That birthday. Well, Dr. Crane, you got your music for the next 2 days.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
It's Chase and Big Joe on a Wednesday, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.